preacher. Hallelujah. We're in church, right?
Yes, sir.
Are you ready to have church? I didn't hear. Test, test. Okay. Sounds a little. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Praise God. Well, let me start over. Test, test. Well, I know I got the anointed mic now. Over there? And I tell you, I must have something good to say. How about that? Let me start over for the third time.
Doesn't have to do anything, it's working.
Yeah. That's fine. We'll leave it sit right there. If I walk, I'll just pick it up. All right, fourth time. Here we go. I appreciate this opportunity. I talked to Pastor on Monday, and as we were talking, he asked if I felt like I had a message, and that's just something I never say no to, because I'm hooked up with the Father. If he's got something he wants to say, and he wants me to be the vessel that he wants to say it through, I say, yay, yes, let's go, I'm ready. So I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I appreciate you being here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we are triumphant. We are victorious in Christ. We're not trying to get there, Lord. We live there. It's where we dwell. And I thank you tonight, Father, that your word lives and abides in me, and that the Spirit of God rises up and lives big in me. And Father, that you can manifest yourself through me in any way you deem necessary. And I thank you tonight, Father, that as I speak, my tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. Lord, I've prepared. I've prepared my heart. I've prepared a message. But Lord, it's the anointing of God. It's the Spirit of God that makes the difference. It's not Scott. I'm just a vessel. Lord, it's your word, it's your spirit, it's all about you. So Lord, we look to you. We turn our attention, our focus to you, Lord. And I thank you, sir, in the mighty name of your son, amen. Well, this, as I've been seeking the Lord, but before the Lord, our pastor even asked me if I would minister tonight, the Lord has been, I pray, and I don't necessarily, I mean, I do sometimes get down on my knees and pray, but I find myself praying constantly as I go through my day. No matter what it is I'm doing, I'm praying, I'm talking to the Lord, I'm communicating with him, he's communicating with me. And it's not so much that we set aside, not that there's anything wrong with doing that, and I think we probably should do that. But that's just how I've kind of evolved in my prayer life, is that I find that I have to talk to him more and more all the time. And then he talks back to me. And the thing that he's been putting on my heart is, what is the cry of my heart? You see, the cry of my heart should be the cry of his heart. And I want to say tonight unequivocally that, you know, I absolutely believe in who we are in Christ. I believe that we are the righteousness of God. I believe that we are victorious. I believe that Jesus paid it all, that he supplied everything that you and I need as believers, as children of God, that we are new creatures in Christ. I believe all of that, absolutely adamant about it. But the question is, what do we do once we realize who we are? What do we do once we realize what we have in him? Is it just so that we can have it? So that we can just enjoy it for ourselves? Is it just about us having that relationship with the Father? Is it that we know who we are in Christ for our benefit? Well, that's part of it, but that's just the beginning of it. It's not about me knowing. It's about what I know and taking what I know and sharing it with those that don't know it. It's taking that opportunity when it presents itself to be able to speak into a person's life that has no idea that God loves them, that God cares about them, that God has a plan for their life. I think we get so caught up. I've been in this, you know, so-called faith movement, the word movement, for many years. And I think sometimes in this movement, we get so caught up in the word, not that that's a bad thing, but we get so caught up in who we are and what we have and what the word will do for us that we forget the reason that God has done what he's done for us is so that we can impact the world in which we live. It's so that we can change lives for the kingdom of God. It's so that we can touch people's lives right where they are. There's people tonight that are on their way to hell. There's people tonight that are dying, lost without Christ. If we don't reach them, who's going to reach them? If we don't touch them, who's going to touch them? What good does it do me if I know that I am the righteousness of God and I know how to pray and exercise my faith if I don't use my faith and my standing with God to impact the life of somebody else? You see, I want to say something tonight, and I'm not here to step on anyone's toes. I love this man and this woman dearly. I've known them for a number of years. But I want to say something to you tonight. This church should be packed. This building should be full. We shouldn't even be in this building. We should be in a bigger building. Let me say it again. We should be in a bigger building. The church should be packed with people. Why? Because we're special, because we have, yeah, we are special. But it should be full because we should be touching lives because we know things that other people in other churches don't know. Some people don't know they're the righteousness of God. Some people don't know that Jesus paid it all. Some people don't know that healing is provided for them. Some people don't know anything about who they are. They think they got saved to go to heaven and that's it. They stop there. That's the only revelation that they have. But you and I, sitting under Pastor Jim, know who we are, and we know who we are because Christ paid it all, but that's not just for us. It's for us to share. And if we were actively doing that, if we were actually reaching out to people like we're supposed to do, if we were doing what God wanted us to do, this place would be full tonight. I didn't think that would go over. But it's absolutely the truth, Pastor. We get so comfortable, and this isn't even in my notes. I'm just getting warmed up. I haven't even started yet. But I want to tell you tonight, if we took the responsibility that is ours as children of God and as kingdom people, we would be doing more than just going to work and doing what we do and going home and flipping on the television. We'd be reaching out and touching the lives of people, because people are dying in Austin, Texas that don't know God loves them. What are we going to do about it? Are we just going to be satisfied? Are we going to say it's okay? That should not be our answer. This should not be our cry. Our cry, the cry of my heart, the cry, I believe, of your heart. And if it's not, it should be the cry of your heart. God, do in me what needs to be done so that I can be what you want me to be, so that I can reach the person that needs to be reached. If there's something in my life, Lord, that hinders me, if there's something in my life that keeps you from being all that you are in me and through me, then, Lord, deal with me. Correct me. Do what you need to do. But I don't want to be like I am if what I am cannot do what you need me to do. I'm doing better preaching than you are shouting. Come on now. I'm telling you, people, we need to do something different than what we're doing. What we're doing isn't working. We are kingdom people. We live for the risen King. We serve an almighty God. We live in a city that is lost. We live in a state that's lost. We live in a nation that's lost. We live in a world that's lost. What are you crying out to God to do? Now, this isn't one of those feel-good messages. Sorry. Hate to disappoint. But I believe this is the cry of God's heart. Not only tonight, but it's the cry of his heart for his church, for his body, to say, I'm tired of the norm. I'm tired of what I have. I want more. You see, I'm not going to stand up here tonight and tell you that Scott's a perfect person, that Scott does everything right. You know, I teach my daughter. She's sitting right back there. And sometimes I'm in my car, and that seems to be the place that I get the most frustrated. Somebody will cut me off, or somebody will do something that I consider to be dumb, and it irritates me. I guess I'm one of two, maybe. And she'll say to me, she said, Dad, she did this just a couple weeks ago. She said, Dad, I thought you wanted to be more like Jesus. Uh-oh. I said, you know what, Delaney? I do. I want to be more like him. I don't want that to be my response. I don't want that to be my reaction. I want my reaction to be, what would Jesus do? I want to respond like the Savior and the Lord that I serve. What would he do? He wouldn't get upset. He wouldn't react to that. But you do, I do, we all do. We do things, and what is it? It's a hindrance. It doesn't mean God doesn't love us. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want to use us. It doesn't mean that God doesn't have a plan. What it means is that it's a hindrance to us from keeping God from flowing through our lives to the degree and to the magnitude that he wants to flow through our lives. The devil doesn't care how he hinders you. The devil doesn't care how he affects you from doing what God wants you to do. As long as he accomplishes it, you not doing it, that's all that matters to him. If you get frustrated in your car with driving or the way other people drive, that's something you need to lay before the Lord and say, God, I don't want to be like that. If you have anger in your heart, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, if you have bitterness in your heart, if you have anything in your heart that keeps God from doing in you and through you what he wants to do, you need to say, Lord, I don't want to be like that anymore. Boy, you guys are quiet. But it's absolutely true. You know, my cry, Lord, change me. Change me. I know I'm a new creature in Christ. I know that as well as anybody in this room. I know who I am in Christ. But that doesn't mean I'm living that out perfectly in my life. If I have an arrogance about me, God, I don't want to be like that. If there's something about me, Lord, that I don't recognize, that I don't realize, but you know and you recognize, please deal with that. Correct that. I tell you tonight, my heart breaks because I want God to show up when I show up. I want Jesus to show up when I walk into the room, when I walk into a room that's dark, when I walk into a room where there's sickness and disease, when I walk into a room when people are lonely and hurting and crying out and don't know what to do. I want to walk into that room and the light of the Son of the living God who lives on the inside of me, he shows up and there's no hindrance in my life. There's nothing in my life that keeps him from doing what he wants to do in that situation. But many times we walk into that circumstance, we walk into that situation, and we don't do what God wants us to do. We don't flow with the Spirit of God because there's something that we know in our own selves, in our own mind, in our own heart that we allow ourselves to be condemned about, and therefore we don't do it. So I say, let's get rid of it. Praise God. That's the cry of my heart. I want it to be the cry of your heart. God, change me. God, do in me what needs to be done. Do in me what needs to be done so that I can be the vessel you called me to be, that I can be the instrument in your hand that you created me to be. There's not one person in this room tonight that doesn't have a destiny. I don't know what your destiny is, but I do know this. It involves the Word of God. It involves the Lord Jesus Christ. It involves you sharing what you know with the world that doesn't know what you know. How that comes about, how that happened, how that transpires through you, I don't know. That's not my job. My job, his job, other ministers in this body's job, responsibility, is to train you and equip you so that you can go out and do what God wants you to do, so that you can go out and fulfill the destiny that God has for you. But he has one. And I don't know about you, I'm sure that you do, but I know for me, that's what I want. I want God, please, please, not that I have to beg the Father, not that I have to please begging to do this. This is what he wants to do. It's him working in me. The Bible says in Philippians that it is God who is at work within you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's his will. It's his desires in me. I just don't want to hold him up. I don't want to hinder him. I don't want him to be delayed. I want God to show up. Praise God. As I was saying, over the last several days, it's just been the cry of my heart, God, change me. I don't walk around angry. Don't misunderstand me. I don't have anything in my heart tonight against any person. But I don't want to have a tendency towards something. I don't want to be prone to something. I want to lay it down. I want it behind me. I don't want it to be beset in this race that I'm running by anything other than Christ. I told Pastor on Monday, I said, sir, I just want to, I, in the Old Testament, they talked about a drink offering being poured. I just want to be a drink offering, Lord. Pour me out for the cause of Christ. Pour me out for the cause of Christ. Let my life be lived for Christ. Let me be like Paul that said in 2 Corinthians 10, I believe it is, he said that I knew a man in Christ. You see, he goes on to talk about in 14 years, so and so. But here's the point. I just want to be known as a man in Christ. A man in Christ. Because you see, tonight, Scott Bowling can't help you. Pastor Jim, great man, love the man with all my heart. He can't help you. But the Christ in him, the Christ in me can help you, can change your life, can cause you to take another direction that you haven't yet taken, to cause you to take steps that you haven't yet taken. But it's Christ. It's not me. It's not Pastor Jim. It's not Brother Damon or Brother Brian or Brother Richard or Brother anybody or Sister anybody. It's Christ. It's all about him. It's all about him. We know what we know and we believe what we believe, but it's all about him. At the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the month, at the end of the year, at the end of our lives, it's got to be about him. He is the life changer. He is the deliverer. He is the healer. He is all in all and everything that we need, and he's what the world needs to know. And they're not going to see him if they don't see him in you. So I want to encourage you tonight. Share what you know with everything that moves. If it moves, tell them. I'm serious. Tell them. We have to reach a city. We have a city to reach. We have a city to reach, Pastor. There's people out there tonight that are lost, undone. They're miserable. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They don't know that there's even answers that are even available to them. But what are we doing? You say, Scott, you're beating me up. I'm not beating you up. Listen, I love you. I care about you. But we have the answers. We have the answers. And it's up to us to share the answers with people that don't know that there's even a question. If I could urge you, if I can plead with you, please do that. I told Pastor when I was young, I used to go to the mall and I'd sit in the mall and somebody would sit down next to me. I'd just sit there. And they'd say, hi, how are you doing? I'd say, I'm doing good, how are you doing? And then I'd say, you know, what do you think about eternity? You think there's a heaven? What happens when we die? And I would speak truth into their lives. It might be for a moment, it might be for 2 moments, but I would speak it. And here's what I've learned. When we speak truth, whether they receive it or they reject it, they cannot get away from it. And God can bring it back. God can wake them up in the middle of the night and say, you remember that kid, that young man that was sitting in the mall, sitting next to you, and he asked you what you believed about life and death, heaven and hell. Is there a God? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Listen to me. That's what we got to do. I'm not telling you to go sit in the mall. If he tells you to do that, I encourage you to do that. I used to pick up hitchhikers. We don't see very many hitchhikers anymore. I always considered them captive audiences. You get in my car, you get the ride, but you got to listen to what I have to say. And you know what? Many, many times, and I do mean many, before they would get out of that car, they would say, can we pray? I don't know Jesus, but I want to know him. I want to know him. He's the answer. He's the solution. And I want to encourage you tonight. We got to do the Father's work. We got to work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. That means we got to be busy about the kingdom. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. This is Paul writing to the church of Corinth. He says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul says that his speech is not, and his preaching was not with enticing or persuasive words. It wasn't with man's wisdom. What did he say? He said, Paul did not come to the Corinthians with human philosophy or superior knowledge and enlightenment. No, he came in the demonstration of the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It means that when Paul showed up, there was a manifestation of the kingdom. There was a proof that could not be doubted, a proof that was patently evident, certain and unquestionable. Everywhere he went, the kingdom showed up. Can we say that? Are we representing the kingdom that way? If we're not, we need to. He did not come in the philosophy of men. He did not come with great knowledge and understanding of world science and this and that and the other. No, he came in demonstration. He came and the kingdom showed up. Again, I ask you tonight, what is the cry of your heart? What are you asking God for? Are you crying out tonight for a new house, for a new car, for a new job? Are you crying out, God, I need more money? Is that the cry of your heart? Listen, Those things are okay. They're fine. We need them. We live in a world where money is an exchange. But my friend, that's not what this is about. The kingdom is not about things. The kingdom is not about how big a house you live in and how many cars you have or how much money you have in a bank. The kingdom of God is about the rule of God. It's about that kingdom invading the kingdom of darkness. It's about the church marching to the gates of hell and the gates of hell not being able to withstand it. That's what it's about. Does God not want us to be blessed? Does God not want us to be financially prosperous? Absolutely, he does. You know why? Because it takes money to propagate the gospel. You can't do it for free. But it's not so we can say, I've got X amount of dollars in my account. I drive this car. I live in this house. I live in this. Who cares? Who cares? You know, at one time when I was young in Christ, I thought, oh, man, hey, I believe faith in God, faith in the Word. Dad Hagen, boy, faith works. I believe that. I know that. But it's not about things. It's about a relationship. It's about knowing Christ. It's about knowing the Father. Jesus said in John 17, he said, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, Father, and his Son, whom you have sent. That's eternal life. That's what this is about. Does God not want you to have a nice car? Sure he does. Does God not want you to live in a nice neighborhood? Sure he does. All those things are fine as long as those things don't have you. If they have you, you need to let go of them. You need to turn loose of them. Give them away, sell them, do whatever you got to do, but don't let them have you. Because if they have you, you are not as effective as you could be for the kingdom of God. Again, as I said, this may not be a feel-good message, but I believe it's necessary. We got to do something. We got to do something different. You see, the kingdom of God is not about external things. It's about eternal things. Let me say that again. The kingdom of God is not about external things. It's about eternal things. And the kingdom of God has an eternal perspective. God looks at everything in the light of eternity. Everything he looks at in the light of eternity. You know people tonight. You may have family members tonight that don't know Christ. You know what? They're going to spend eternity somewhere. They are. It's going to happen. The question is, are you doing everything you can? Not saying, not doing, living the life before them. The Bible says in the book of Peter, it tells wives, he says, you know, let your wives be one, let the husbands be one by the conversation. What does that mean? By what they say? No. What it means is by the manner of life that they live. And that's not just applicable to women and wives. It's applicable to every child of God. We are to live a life before people that they see something in me, they see something in you that says, that guy's different. That guy is not like this guy that I know over here. He's different. There's something about him. He isn't shaken. He doesn't get upset when the economy seems to look like it's falling apart or this happens or that happens. How is it that that man, that woman has peace in their heart, no matter, even though I know in their life there's things going on, but they're not shaken, they're not moved? It's because we live a life, because we're hooked up to eternity. We're hooked up to the Creator. We're hooked up with our Father. And that's what this is about. You see, you're not part of a kingdom to just be part of it. You have a place in the kingdom. You need to find that place. Do you realize that most people live their entire life without ever knowing what they were here to do? That's a sad, sad tale. How many of you realize that? They go through all their life not knowing what it is they're supposed to do. Not knowing where. You see, I believe that God has us live in specific places. God has us live in a particular place. God has us in a particular city or state or what. Why? Because that's where he wants us to be so that we can reach the people that we will come in contact with. But That's what this is about. I want to change your focus. I want to shift your focus. Get it off of you if it's on you. I'm not saying it is. I don't know that. You know that. But shift your focus if it's on you, if it's just about you, it's just about your kids, it's just about your wife, it's just about your, shift the focus and put it on the Lord. Put it on Christ. Let him live through you. Say, oh God, please do in me what needs to be done. Bring me to the place that I need to be so that you can work through me the way you desire to. Who moved the clock up? You see, things can never be more important than the kingdom of God. We have to keep an eternal viewpoint. Our perspective is critical in allowing Christ to manifest in our lives. It's not that he doesn't want to show up. We're just not expecting him to show up. I say, let's turn the expectors on. I say, let's start to expect in this house miracles, wonders, and signs. Listen, God wants to do what he's promised. It isn't the short circuit isn't on his end. It's on our end. So let's start to turn our expectors on. Let's begin to let our expectation go. And begin to believe God to show up on Wednesday night and Sunday morning, that miracles will begin to just break out and begin to happen. Will God do that? Absolutely. He wants to do that. But if we don't expect it, if we're not looking for it, if we're not cooperating, he'll move down the street to somebody that will. Glory, glory. If our viewpoint, if our perspective is being formed by the lost world around us, it's going to be skewed. It's going to be turned aside from the kingdom. It'll be distorted. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says this, "We look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, temporal, temporary. But the things that are unseen are eternal." You see, the Bible is a book of spiritual realities. These aren't things that are going to happen. These are things that already happened. And how does that manifest in our life? It manifests in our lives by us getting in line with it, us getting in tune with it, by us saying, Lord, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to put that behind me. I'm going to resist that. When the devil tries to bring that temptation to me, when the devil tries to frustrate me, when the devil tries to do, I'm going to say no. Not no more. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah? You see, I don't know tonight the individual destiny, but God has a plan for your life, and I really want to encourage you. Find out what it is. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. He's got a plan, and it's perfect. It fits you to the T. You won't even be uncomfortable in it because it's designed specifically for you. What does that mean, Scott? It means there's people that only you can reach. There's people that only you can touch. When I was driving the super shuttle, which I'm no longer doing, people would get into that van. Not everybody, but a lot of them. They'd get in my van and they'd say something. They might say one little thing. They might just say God. Or they might say, I don't know what they would say. They'd say something, and all of a sudden I'd say, oh, do you believe in God? Oh, yeah, I'm a person of faith. Or I believe this, or I think that. And I would begin to speak into their lives. And I would tell them, listen, you didn't get in my van by accident. You got in my van because it was destined before you to be in my van. You got in my van because God, who sits in heaven, wanted you to be in my van. There's 50 other vans out there over time that you could have got in, but you got in my van. And I could speak into lives, and I saw people that didn't know what I knew, that I could share with them the love of God And they were impacted by that. Their lives will never be the same. They'll never be the same, not because of Scott Bowling, but because of the truth that I was able to share with them, the few words that I was able to speak into their lives. And you know what? I mean, it got me up every morning. It kept me in that van 14 hours a day because I never knew when God was going to give me a divine assignment, and I would go and I would speak into somebody's life that would change their lives for eternity. My friend, that's what this is about. It's not about anything else. I don't care what you thought it was about. That's what it's about. If you were under a delusion or you thought something else, I'm sorry to say you were wrong. It's about you taking the kingdom to a lost world. Nothing else. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. Now, that may not be popular. It may not make you feel good. It may not give you chill bumps. But it is the truth. And I guarantee you this, if you will cooperate, if you will ask God and you will let him change whatever needs to be changed, adjust whatever needs to be adjusted, you will be one of the happiest, joyful people you ever met. You know why? Because you're walking in the plan and the purpose your Father created you for. There's no better place to be than that. When I pastored a church years ago, I was a young guy. I'm still a young guy. Man, it was tough. Don't think being a pastor is easy. It's not. But you know what? There was bombs, not literal bombs, but things happening all around me. I mean, this was going on, that was going on. But man, it didn't matter if it was Wednesday night or Sunday morning or Sunday night. I stepped behind the sacred desk. And all of a sudden, I was home. I thought, man, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to do. And when I did that, it was a hand in glove. That glove was made perfect for me. I mean, it fit. And I was home. I mean, I've never been in my whole life. I've done a lot of things, been a lot of places. But the most home I've ever been, the most comfortable I've ever been, is doing what God called me to do. And it's the same for you. Whatever that is, find that place and then watch what God does. You see, everything God does involves people. He needs people to participate. He needs people to be active in the kingdom. To reach other people. This is a verse that you're very familiar with, Matthew 6:33. This is Jesus. He said, "But seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Much of the church has gotten that backwards. They've been seeking the things instead of the giver of the things and instead of the kingdom. It doesn't work that way. The only way it works is the way that it's written. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the King of the kingdom. And when you do that, all the things that you're looking for, that you need, they'll just show up. You don't even have to know how. They just will be there. It's what he said. In Scripture, we are never told to seek things or possessions. Never. There's not one verse of Scripture that tells us that that is to be what we seek after. Those things are not to be our focus. They are not to hold our attention. The Young's literal translation of verse 6 of Matthew 6:33 says this, "But seek first the reign of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Kenneth Wiest says it this way, "But be seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, and these things, all of them, shall be added to you." You see, we are told to seek the reign or the rule of God. That is the kingdom. And this is an ongoing seeking. This isn't something where I sought the kingdom once. It's an ongoing seeking of the kingdom. We're constantly and consistently to be seeking the rule of the kingdom of God in our lives. We're to be surrendering areas of our life every day, all day, as much as we need to, so that God's kingdom can show up through us. It's not going to show up through anybody else. It's going to show up through you. It's going to show up through believers. You see, the heart of the ministry of Jesus is found in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, and this is what it says. The kingdom of God is at hand. That's what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is at hand. That does not mean it's coming or it's close by. What that means is it's here. We're in the kingdom. We're of the kingdom. We're in the kingdom of the dear Son of God, Colossians 1, verse 13. We're in that kingdom. It's here. It's right now. But most believers equate the kingdom as being heaven or the church or the millennium. That's not what it is. In John 14, 16, Jesus said, when the Comforter, the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will bring revelation. He will reveal, he will refine and actually, get this, he will release a replication of Christ in you. Now that's a powerful statement if you listen to it, if you hear it. You see, that's what the Spirit of God does. He wants to replicate Christ in us. Everything he did for us. It's to replicate him in us, through us. Jesus said, these works shall you do, and greater works than these shall you do. Because why? Because I go to my Father. Did he go? Did he get there? Well, how's that going to happen? It's going to happen because the same Spirit of God that came upon him and anointed him that we find in reference of Acts 10:38 comes upon us. And Jesus is replicated in us. And Christ is seen in us. Now, come on. I know I'm doing better preaching than you are shouting. Come on, somebody help me here. He wants to replicate Christ in you. I said a moment ago, I'll say it again. We are to be about our Father's business. That's kingdom business. There's no other, God doesn't have any other business. Do you realize that? Do you understand that tonight? There's no other business that God has other than kingdom business. That's the only business he has. And what does that mean? It means sharing with the world, those that are lost, those that don't know God, his love, his mercy, and his intention for them. That's what it's about. Please, if you get anything out of this tonight, I hope, pray that when you go home or when you go wherever you're going, if not tonight, tomorrow morning, that the cry of your heart will be, God, please do in me what needs to be done. Look, I believe in the finished work. I believe that Christ secured it. But look, we have to change our thinking. We have to change our thoughts for that to be made manifest. It doesn't just happen. We have a part to play. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What was his message? You see, Jesus lived his message. It wasn't just words. He demonstrated by his life the message of the kingdom. What did he do? Well, there's many, many scriptures that says he healed the sick. He healed them all. He laid his hands on them and they were all healed. He cast out demons. In one place, he says that it was done by the finger of God, the kingdom, and he said the kingdom of God. Jesus lived what he believed. Oh, but he was the Son of God. He didn't operate in the earth as the Son of God. He operated as a man under the anointing of the Spirit of God. Yes. You can do that. I can do that. I say, let's live the message. Let's live it. Let's not just talk it. Let's live it. Let's be like Jesus. Just like Paul, I said a few moments ago. Every time he showed up, the kingdom showed up. Every time. Not one time, not sometimes, every time. You see, Jesus preached deliverance. He came to deliver man from sin and the entire fallout of it. That's what the kingdom's about. He came to redeem and to restore mankind to God's original order. My question to you tonight is, do you believe that he did that? Do you believe that? I want to say something. I could go on, and there's no way I'm going to get through this. I may never get to finish it. But here's the deal. This is not about information tonight. I'm not here to share information. Information puffs you up, does no good, benefits no one. I mean, does that mean you want to be stupid, that you don't want to have knowledge of something? No, that's not what it means. But when it comes to the kingdom, it's not about knowledge, it's about revelation. It's revelation. The kingdom is built on revelation. It's not built on anything else. If you thought it was, sorry, it's not. It's built on revelation. So you can have all the information about Jesus. You can have all the information and you can understand the theology and the study of God and all of those things. But if all you have at the end of the day is information, that's all you have. But if you have revelation, it will change your life. It will change your life. Where revelation is, there is faith. You see, where there's information, there's just, you mentally agree to it. There's no power there. But where you have revelation, where it's personalized, this is what he did for me. And because he did it for me, he will do it for them. Give me just another hour, we'll be good. Jesus came to restore. You see, when he died, was buried, and resurrected, he didn't come out of the tomb and say, I hope that helped you a little bit. No. What'd he say? He said, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore. Amen. That's what it was about. His death, his burial, his resurrection was so that his body, his church, could be empowered with his spirit to go out and change the world. I believe that. You can't knock it out of me, no matter how hard you try. Because it's truth. And these are the things that we need to lay hold of. These are the things that will make life exciting. Listen, we all feel at times, if we're honest, life sometimes can be boring. It can be monotonous. Am I the only one who ever has felt like that? But I tell you, when Jesus becomes real to you, when you have the revelation of Christ, now you're just looking for the next opportunity that he can show up in you. That changes the game. Changes the game. I'm going to read this scripture, then I'll stop. I don't want to stop, but I'm going to stop. Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. That was the kingdom in operation. Has the kingdom changed? Is the message the same? Are the results to be the same? Absolutely. So my friend, I cannot finish this tonight. If I did, I would literally have to keep you here another hour. But you got to be careful there, brother. This is what it's about. I don't know what you're dealing with tonight. I don't know what may beset you. I don't know tonight unless the Lord shows me, which there would really be no reason for him to do that. I don't know what it is that may hinder you from allowing him to be all that he is in you and through you. But I can tell you this, it's not big enough to stand in his way if you're willing to let it go. Did you hear what I said? My friend, my brother, my sister, please, please, from the bottom of my heart, let the cry of your heart be, God, change me so that I can be all that you want to be in me and through me. Because at the end of the day, at the end of life, that's all that's going to matter. That's all that's going to matter. He doesn't care where you, what kind of house, what kind of car, it's irrelevant to him. It's mute, doesn't matter. What matters is, did you fulfill the plan and the purpose of God for you? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you are a good God. You are a loving Father. And Father, you have a destiny for every person that's in this room. You have destiny for every person who may see this at some point in the future. And I pray tonight, Father, that you will cause the cry of their heart to become the cry of your heart. Lord, that we stop fooling around. We stop just being okay with living in a city that's lost, with living in a state that's lost, living in a nation that's lost, living in a world that's lost. But Father, that we'll hit our knees or we'll walk the floors. And Father, that we'll cry out to you, Father, use me. Somehow work in me that which needs to be worked, that which needs to be done so that I can be an effective instrument, tool, weapon in your hand. Father, that's my cry. Oh God, please. Lord, I want to manifest Christ in my life. I want to be known as a man in Christ. Father, help us, I pray. Lord, let us take this city, this state, this nation, this world upon our hearts, knowing that we have the answers. We have the solution. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one. And Father, let us not be shy. Lord, your word says in Proverbs 28 that the righteous are as bold as a lion and the wicked fleeth when no man pursueth. Father, help us to be bold. Help us to step out. And Father, watch you show up. I thank you for it, Father. In the mighty name of your Son, I say thank you. Amen. Praise God. I got another. Who's ready for the second part two? No, I'm just kidding. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Amen.